This is Trumpet Vibes, a low-key podcast where we explore and discuss all things related to the trumpet and how we, as trumpet players, navigate an ever-changing world within the music industry, all while keeping it chill, of course. I'm your host, Ellis Williams, entertainer, songwriter, businessman, with over 20 years on a horn and on the stage. Welcome back, guys, to part two of my interview with the amazing Larry Hart. Last episode, we talked about what to expect when picking your first mouthpiece and heard some interesting stories from Larry's experiences at the beginning of his career. Today, we're discussing the topic of buying a new horn. This can either be every trumpet player's favorite pastime or biggest contributor to their anxiety. You'll find out in this episode how different our experiences were when it came to buying our instruments, and Larry has some useful information for all of you guys, so let's get it. Let's talk about owning your first trumpet. You mind telling us your experiences on how you got your first horn, or built your first horn, or stumbled upon your first horn?
The first horn I really owned was a student Yamaha. It was used. It was in a store, a music store. It was used. Again, keeping up with my friends, I started on an old Con, and it was a weird, not a weird horn, but the case was like all hard rubber on the inside. So by the end of my seventh grade year, this old Con had literally, pretty much every solder joint had come apart. I had rubber bands all over it, holding it together. So my friend at the time in middle school got a brand new Yamaha. Mom, I got to have one of those. So we went, we didn't do new. We did used. We paid $120. And that was a great horn. That horn went all the way through, most of the way through high school. And then the Holton came out with the MF Admiral, which was Maynard's affordable trumpet. At that time, his horns were going for probably $900 to $1,500. Really, really pretty pricey. We're talking in 1983-84 time period. So he had come out with the MF Admiral, which was priced at $499, which was a really great deal. So ended up getting the Admiral. I played that. I remember one of my friends in high school had a Bach. And he was, before I got my Admiral, he was like, "Oh, you got to get a Bach." And I was like, "Oh, no, those things are, Bachs are terrible." They had, back then in the 80s, they had metal valve guides. So the valves were very clacky and loud. Oh. And the Holton had these really silent, pads and all that. That's about the time the neoprenes and stuff started coming in the valve casings or the valve guides. So they were starting to get quieter. So I had this Holton and I loved it. And then just out of high school, that's when I started getting, I had a Schilke tuning bell and acquired a Getson from somebody. Not really great horns, all of them. And took a lesson with my teacher at Cal State Fullerton, and I noticed that every time he played a note, it was like it was there. Like he could play three or four notes, and each note was just perfectly centered. And I know that when I play the same notes, the pitch would sway up and down all the time, like you're constantly chasing.
Yeah.
And so I finally asked him, and I said, "You know what? Why is it when you play these notes, this happens? When I play, this happens?" And he told me in so many words, "Well, every horn you bring in is a piece of junk." And I was really offended. I'm like, I love my Holton. And sorry, it's a piece of junk. Whatever. So I went to a place called Anaheim Band. It's gone now. It's been bought up by Music and Arts. But Anaheim Band. And I remember it was an hour-long drive. I remember having my Holton in the car. The whole way I'm thinking, I'm going to try those Bachs, but I'm pretty sure I'll come out with my Holton. I'm pretty sure I'll be okay. But I'm going to humor everybody because everybody keeps saying, buy a Bach, whatever. So I'll humor them. I got in the store and I said, I need two box 7225s, and they gave them to me, and I took them in this back room, and I played, you know, 10 minutes or so on my Holton. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Feel like I'm ready to try this other horn, so I took out the Bach, and I played five notes in that Bach, and I never saw the Holton again. It was wow. In the cage. That was the end of it. The Bach was so centered, and the sound was so nice.
Yeah.
I said, man, this is where, all right, this is what we want. Mm-hmm. And so that's, you know, that's the first one I bought on my own. That was, you know, okay, this is what we're settling on. This is it. You know, mm-hmm. other horns I purchased, like, well, that's nice and all, but still not, you know, it's got this issue or it's got that issue or the sound is this and not that. It, you know, the Bach was really the first well-rounded, complete horn that I owned that I'm like, okay, this I can play
mm-hmm.
in a wind ensemble with it. I can play lead at, you know, SeaWorld, outdoors, in, you know, all these different groups, brass quintet.
Mm-hmm.
It was a nice, well-rounded,
yeah,
great horn that I
you know, had. For a long time, I don't know if it's still a thing now, but for a long time that, you know, the Bach had just like, it's a trumpet player's rites of passage, you know, you got to own a Bach or at least played on one for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. Not necessarily. Yeah. Not, I mean, if you play it on one, you are most likely destined to own one. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to play on a Bach, I think, and just not want to own it. You know, I mean, if it's a decent playing Bach. Now, the trouble with Bachs, and I had this the day I tried the horns out, is, you know, they're hit and miss on trumpets. You know, they can, you have the stellar sound great horns, and mm-hmm. you have the ones that something's wrong. But the horns that have something wrong, there's something clearly wrong. It's not like it's a little missed. It's like this horn misses. But the horns that sound great, it's not like it's a little great. It's this has a sound that you want to recreate, or, you know, in other horns. And mm-hmm. and when you get it, you don't want to give up that horn, you know. And so by the time I ended my time at SeaWorld, I had owned, I had four Bachs in my possession. Two of which were identical and two of which were very different horns. And one of them is where I got started into repairing and
mm-hmm.
constructing my own horns. And okay. What happened was a buddy of mine had a Bach, and it was in the back of his trunk of his car, and we don't know what happened. The nearest we can tell is a spare tire rolled around the back, slid around, and ran into it.
Oh.
And so I got a job at a music store in San Diego and saw this horn on the wall. And I said, hey, you know, that's so-and-so's horn. Oh, yeah. I said, what are you going to do with it? Oh, I don't know. I said, well, why don't we buy a bell and a lead pipe and we'll get the horn up and running again? Okay. So we went on, not online, we went to a catalog and ordered a 72 bell and a 25 lead pipe. And that was good. You know, and when those came in, the owner of the store said, well, here's your torch. Here's your solder. If you have any questions, let me know. And I said, well, how do you start? So he showed me how to weld or solder and get the pipes off and the bell off, how to put all the parts back on. And
mm-hmm.
that was really kind of my start into soldering parts together.
Okay. And the rest is history.
And yeah. Yeah.
Hey guys, if you want to show support for the show, please visit my Patreon page where you can become an official patron starting at just $1 a month. There's all sorts of extras you'll get as you climb the tiers, so don't wait any longer. Visit my page at patreon.com/ewillsmusic. That's E-W-I-L-L-Z music. So you know, you mentioned when you went in that store and you tried to buy
Would you say the whole buying experience has changed over the years for getting horns? I know the last time, my recent horn that I got, it wasn't even me going into a store. I had to go ahead and contact somebody states away, and they said, well, you know, we could send you a trial horn, and that was a totally different experience other than, you know, me going to a store and trying. And I know before that, the next best thing would be, well, try to catch the next national trumpet competition, or one of these, you know, just one of these conventions where you can go and just see the kind of horns they have laid out. Would you say that there's been a lot of changes in the buying experience?
I think there has. You know, when I bought my Bach, like I said, I went to a music store. They had two horns that you could try. Fortunately, one was good. One was not so good. When I got out into Virginia, the big thing to buy a horn would be go to Chuck Levin's up in, you know, in D.C. And and they have a gazillion horns. But, you know, you had to decide. I mean, you took a 3-hour drive. You had to pick, you know, in the course of a few hours out of 30 horns, which ones you like. And by the time you're done trying all those horns, your head's spinning. I think that if you have the money, you know, if you wanted to buy a horn from an out-of-state vendor, well, if you had the money, you would fly there or drive there and spend, you know, 3 or 4 days going to their shop and try out their horns, if you got the money. But most people don't have that kind of money to do.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. When I got here in Virginia, the Bach that I had from SeaWorld, the middle valve threads actually broke off at the park while we were playing. Yeah, the horn had been exposed to the salt air for 7+ years, and so those broke off. So I needed to get a horn. And fortunately, I'd take a trip home every year at the time, and I would go to Canstall. My friend Charles Argett was the sales rep, and he wasn't necessarily a dealer, but like one of the sales rep basically for Canstall. Okay. And I would go, and he would do his work for the day, and I would go there a couple days and spend 8 hours in the showroom just playing horns.
That's nice.
And that's why I decided that the 1500A was going to be a really good horn. I, for the longest time, wanted the Wayne Bergeron horn, but when I went to the showroom, wasn't the case. The Bergeron horn was not as flexible as the 1500A was. And, but that was a product of just, you know, being fortunate to go there, you know. But if I wanted to buy a Warburton or a Stompy or, you know, a Blackburn, if I had the money, you would go try them out. But I think that, the trend today is they send you 2 or 3, you check them out, which is cool because you can do it in a number of different ways. In 2000, I bought it was the hot horn at the time, was the Colicchio Studio 2. Everybody was buying it. Everybody. And about a year later, everybody was selling it that I knew.
Why was that?
Well, the horn played phenomenal in the showroom. Like, it sounded great in the showroom. But when you got on the gig with somebody, It didn't settle in tune. It was a weird, weird instrument. And in speaking to a couple friends in California that had purchased the same horn, it was the same problem. Like, by itself, the horn just screams. And then on the job, you're just like, in it either it was the pitch not settling in, and because of that, it couldn't blend. It wouldn't blend with anybody. It was a weird horn. I ended up selling it a year later. And so, you know, not having that time to try that, to take it on a gig. You know, if I'd had 7 days with it, or however long you know, a lot of these shops that you have for 7 to 10 days and you ship them back, you know, geez, working at the park for 7 days, take the horn in, play it. Nope, that's not it. Play this. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's not it. You know, that'd have been great. But that at the time was not how you did it. You know, you didn't call Chuck Levin and say, yeah, I want 10 horns down here tomorrow and check them out. You had to drive up there. Mm-hmm. I think the online, just the connectivity of being online and whatnot has really, in some respect, helped the buying process and given a lot more avenues for testing, really testing out a horn and seeing if you like it. Because I would not have purchased that Plicchio after playing on a job. It wasn't pretty.
So this kind of goes into my next question. What is a common mistake that most of us have? I would say probably, students and parents. What's a problem that we have, like first time buyers, when we're trying to get our first horn?
First time buyers, we buy what's pretty.
We buy it
based on its looks,
mm-hmm.
and we ignore sound. And going back to when I purchased my Bach, there were two Bachs I took in that room. One was clearly a Stellar horn, and one was clearly not. And it was obvious. It wasn't like, this horn's a little, it was like, this horn's horrible. Ugh, awful. 6 months later, playing at school, a friend of mine comes in with his brand new Bach. Oh, look what I got. Got this for my birthday. And the funny part was, on that Bach that did not sound good, the third valve casing, the threads were bent out so the cap wouldn't go on. Had a little problem. Well, this kid had taken his valve out the toilet. He couldn't get the cap to go on. So he's like, hey, man, can you help me? And I looked at him like, oh, you bought this horn anti-band, didn't you? Oh, yeah. Okay. And I just put the cap on, and I didn't say anything. But I was thinking in my head, you didn't try the horn before you bought it? Like, this horn is clearly not a good-sounding instrument. But the problem is, you could open up a Bundy, brand new, and you would want to buy it. Horns, they're pretty. So you really, the mistake is just buying the first thing because it's beautiful looking, not because how it plays. And I encourage my students to seek out and check out the used market because there's a lot of great old horns that get sold because their owners move on to the next latest, greatest thing, or they just have a horn sitting around. It's been sitting around for a long time. Those are the great, great finds. My current horn, my current Bach, was one of those great finds. A guy was selling it. It had an issue, and I got it for a good price, and I fixed the issue, and it wasn't a problem after that. But it's not a looker. It's tarnished. It doesn't have any major dents, but it's got the sign of it's been around since 1983. It's one of those old old horns. It's a 200,000 serial number, which in Bach world, the 100,000 to the late 300,000s are really the stellar numbers you want to be with. And beyond that's when the company started doing some different stuff, going on strike, things like that. So, you know, if you can find an old 200,000, an old 100,000, because the valve casings were two-piece, are even better. But, you know, some great old horns out there, but they're not going to look pretty. I mean, they're just not. So you're going to have a hard time convincing a child, this is what you want.
Oh,
this is what you got. Yes. Yeah, you know, because when they see their friend come in with something shiny, they don't realize, you know, you got a Bach. It's value is exponentially higher than the brand new Bundy your friend came in with. But the Bundy looks pretty because it's brand new. Well, this is, I don't want this, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's, I think, the biggest mistake. Buy how it looks, not how it sounds.
So you could pretty much say this, when it comes to, people hear what they see. Doesn't apply to this. Don't believe the hype, people. Don't believe it.
No, people, in fact, see, and it's the opposite way around.
Mm-hmm.
People see, yep, and then they hear it. Oh, that looks bad. It must sound, oh. Mm-hmm. And I get that, you know, when I was doing clinics and you know, working with local schools, I made a point to take in the worst looking horn I have. And that was to show students that, you know, the horn, the shininess of the horn and all that doesn't equate to the sound. You know, really let the students know that this old raw brass, rusty looking thing, mm-hmm, can still sound great. And I'll get questions, yeah, all the time. Well, how's a horn sound so good? It looks so old. Well, because it's been taken care of, but yep, it's just got usual, it's got wear on it. It's got, mm-hmm, you know, miles on it, but yep, still a great old horn. You know, so yeah.
Nice.
And that's part two of the series so far. If you want to hear the full uncut version of this podcast, make sure to check out the Aftermath episode on my Patreon page at E Wills Music. That's EWILLZ Music. One more big thanks to our guest Larry Hart for making me just a little bit smarter and more relevant. I hope you enjoyed and you learned something and had your third eye open just a little. Catch part three, where we'll get into what you need to know when getting a custom-made trumpet. Follow me on your favorite social media platforms at EWILLZ Music. That's EWILLZ Music. Thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe and live the music. Chuck 'em.